Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to The Morning Toast. I know what you're thinking. Claudia, you said there was no episode. Well, I lied because I'm a big liar, and I'm joined by one of my besties, a Toast regular at this point, Mr. Brian Kelly, a.k.a. The Points Guy. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Thanks for having me on this. What could be kind of like a solemn day.
Yeah, so...
Not to bring the mood down, but there's a lot we're going to get through today.
Yeah, so let's talk about why we're here. So we had no episode scheduled for today, but you and I have been meaning to make this episode together just to talk about...
After
you know,
your intervention.
After my intervention, yeah. Just to talk a little bit about what's been going on with you. And before we dive in, I know that you've been like holding like a secret. Not a secret, because that makes it sound bad, but like, you know... there's a part of yourself you haven't revealed.
Yeah. You might also want to give the trigger warning.
Trigger warning. Brian and I are about to be incredibly annoying and dramatic. But that's what we do here at The Morning Toast. We love a moment, you know?
Today is the episode of secrets. I've got some secrets to share today.
That should be our title today, episode of secrets. That's why her hair is so big. It's full of secrets. So tell me a little bit about what the last couple of... Before we dive in, tell me a little bit about what the last couple of months have been like for you.
You know, like once the Not Like Other Girls tour wrapped mm-hmm. in May, it was tough on
Lonely.
Me. Yeah. Like, because being on tour with all the girls, mm-hmm. like...
Camaraderie, family, community.
Yeah, like that hetero energy mm-hmm. I really connected with.
That much I've always known about you.
You know, the girls, like, love on you. Tour, like, just getting that validation. Mm-hmm. And when it just dropped one day... I missed the girls, you know?
You missed the girls. And by the way, the girls have missed you, so I'm sure everyone is thrilled that you're on today's episode.
But I have a big secret for them.
That you're kind of like, you know, sharing
I think it's time I share.
You're sharing your truth.
I'm gay. Claudia, we're going to pretend to be serious.
Wait. We yes. actually...
Kidding! There's other... Big news that I want to share today.
So, Brian, first of all, thank you for giving the Toast the exclusive on what you actually have to share, because it's wonderful, amazing, amazing news. And the Toasters, I mean, I'm so happy for you. The Toasters are going to be so happy when they hear what's been going on with you. So now I think let's really share what's, and by the way, not to make everything about me, but I've obviously known about what.
Yes.
What
you're, so actually, and there's Claudia, there's a secret you don't know about.
Okay, so let's say the secret.
Okay, let's get into the big secret. I am going to be a dad.
Yes. Brian is pregnant with a baby. Well, you're not pregnant. Brian has a baby on the way.
Bun in the oven. Coming very soon, too. We are full third trimester.
You've been so like low-key about it. The fact that like when this episode hits, like babies will be here like imminently.
Soon. Yes. Yeah, it's always been a dream of mine. And I think when the pandemic hit, you know, I had broken up with my ex-fiance. Mm-hmm. You know, TPG's business kind of like, you know, took a pause. I'm home. I'm in Pennsylvania. I'm surrounded by family, my nieces, my nephews. And I've always known I wanted to be a dad. And at that point, I was 37. And I just remember thinking, like, I want to be a young-ish dad.
Right.
I want to have my first kid in my 30s. Yeah. And, you know, being gay and doing IVF, the whole process takes a long time. So it was, you know, the fall of 2020, I actually started to get... you know, serious about it. And it's been a, you know, pretty amazing. I'm very lucky. It'll basically be 2 years from the day I started to having my son.
Oh, yeah. It's a boy. And I want to ask you all about like the process, but I'm curious if at all, because we've been on like several trips together since we've known that you're pregnant and that your surrogate's pregnant. Sorry. And I find people's reaction to it very mixed, because they're like, oh, are you married? Or yeah. And you're doing it by yourself. Like, and I love, and I'm curious if one, it ever crossed your mind to wait until you yeah. found the right person. And two, what was it about the idea of doing it on your own that made you want to do it even more? Because I know.
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly waiting, you know, doing it. And I, you know, to be honest, I am still friends with my ex. But I think I was rushing into that. I proposed after 9-10 months.
Quick.
I was like rushing because in my head, I have to check all these boxes, right? I can't have my kid until I'm married. And oh, I probably rushed that relationship way too quickly. And then, of course, then the pandemic hit. And then I'm like, I'm not even dating in 2020. Like dating in 2020 right. was psychotic.
Psychotic.
It's dark. Psychotic normally, let alone a pandemic. So I'm like, there's no way I'm going to have a, you know, I'm living in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. loving life on the farm. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have the farm then. But so I was like, you know, there's no way that I would have a kid in my 30s if I waited. So
until after the pandemic. Yeah, you have a timeline. Dating.
And then also, I mean, just looking, I mean, my parents are still together after almost over 45 years.
Wow.
But so many families aren't. Mm-hmm. And I just call me selfish, but I'm like, I'm already so attached to my son. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I will never split him. Like,
no,
you know,
you're ready.
And so a part of me is like, I have the financial resources. Mm-hmm. I have an amazing family mm-hmm. and I'm going to have help,
yeah,
lots
of
help.
Course.
And I'm not going to, you know. So why not do it on my own?
No.
And I actually think being a single gay dad will attract me to the right person that I want to be with.
I completely agree with that. Like, I think you entering this new era of your life, very, you know, domesticated almost, that's the type of energy you're going to start to attract.
Yeah.
And I love that as like a barometer for who you yeah. bring. Like, is this person good enough to meet my son?
Yeah.
And
I have
love
a lot
that.
Of gay single friends who have done it. My one friend had twins. They're
wow.
now 9 years old. Amazing, mm-hmm. happy. Obviously, Andy Cohen mm-hmm. and seeing Anderson Cooper and their modern families and just happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, I think, you know, and I work with a lot of kids and charities. Like kids need love, you know?
That's it.
And I'm going to give my kid and potentially kids lots and lots of love.
No, your kid is
well,
like
actually,
so lucky.
Well, actually, there's one other secret that you don't know about.
Oh, okay.
So I've been showing Claudia
the child's name is Claudia.
Claude. Claude Kelly.
That's cute.
No, actually, so I've been showing Claudia pictures of an egg donor that it's not the real egg donor.
I'm the egg donor?
No. Are you ready?
You harvest what?
Margot is the egg donor.
That
no,
actually,
I'm serious.
That wouldn't be fair.
Honestly, like after we kind of like hooked up in Vegas.
Right,
years
I remember.
Ago, yeah.
That's how I knew you were straight. By the way, if
what would you do? Then I would literally.
That would make you my, well, nothing. It would make you my. it would make you my nephew's.
Wait, you didn't
biological
believe that?
Dad. No. But if Margot was your egg donor, that child would be like gorgeous and
yeah.
tall. Like that's almost like not
and
fair.
And savvy. I'm just so proud of Margot. She's such a boss.
She's killing it. She's like, my baby.
Yeah.
Wait, I have so many questions for yeah. you, and I know a lot of the process, but. So you make this decision, and I love the decision.
Yeah.
Like, why wait for life to start?
Yeah.
You have all the means. You have so much love to give. You have a huge family. There's literally no reason not
yeah.
to do it. Where does one start
yeah.
after that as a single gay man?
So I started, my doctor in New York was gay and had kids. So he recommended me to a surrogacy kind of consultant. It was a woman in Minnesota. She had like this small surrogacy practice. In the whole process of IVF, you know, getting eggs is relatively easy. And getting an IVF clinic to make embryos with your sperm and an egg, like that process is not
it's
that
common.
Hard. It's like you get the egg, you
mm-hmm.
know, as long as your sperm is healthy or
mm-hmm.
eggs healthy, like it's pretty easy.
And you
easy.
Had strong swimmers.
Luckily. So it's really funny when you donate or you give your sperm,
mm-hmm.
they actually put it through like a race course.
Wow.
So like your swimmers have to go boop, 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 boop. Like,
oh, wow.
And only the strongest
right.
they use for the insemination.
Mm.
So you get your strongest swimmers. And then I decided to, you can buy frozen eggs from clinics. I was recommended. I chose the egg donor, and then she did a whole. She cycled, and I got all of her eggs from one
got
month.
It. So you have a bunch of options.
So I had a ton of eggs, and then in the lab, you know, they inseminate them all, and I chose to do genetic testing,
mm-hmm.
which allows you. And the clinic that I used in San Diego Fertility Clinic, they're amazing. I'll just shout out Dr. Donishman is like top in the industry. Mm-hmm. He's so amazing. But anyway, so once you have all the embryos, they put them through testing so you can actually see they rank like all of the eggs. And, you know, more than half of the embryos were like, not great quality.
Got it.
So if you do this testing, you can actually rank and use the strongest embryo that has the highest chance of, you know, surviving.
Right.
So I was very lucky the first time that I transferred, it took.
Wow. And that's, by the way, that happens to nobody. Yeah, like,
it was very, but, and, but the biggest like pain point is surrogacy. So apparently during 2020, everyone decided, oh, you know, I can work remotely. Now's the time to have kids.
Yeah.
So there are very long, like
wait lists
for surrogates. And of course me, you know, coming from my airline elite status, I'm like, where's the priority line? Like, where can I upgrade and jump the list? But when it comes to human life, you know, like they're very, and which is amazing. Like
as it should be.
So, but luckily there is an LGBTQ focused smaller agency that when at one point I had talked about wanting to have kids and they reached out to me, they were TPG fans.
Wow.
Elevate Baby is their name. Awesome, awesome people. Kyle Dean Massey is the founder. He's like an actor turned now surrogacy company owner. Him and his husband actually just had a baby, Taylor Fry. So anyway, they're really good. But they had reached out to me and said, if you're looking and connected, they were like, we have the perfect surrogate. So I think so many people told me like, and I remember talking about it in the press years ago, like that I wanted to have a baby. People are like, don't jinx yourself. You know, there's a lot of superstition.
Yeah, of
and
course.
Because I talked about it in an article, they reached out and I'm having a baby today because I was open about the process.
Yeah.
So of course I know it's different for everyone. And some people, you know, certainly it's very private and I respect everyone's decision, but sometimes like putting it into the universe, like, can pay off. So I got matched with this amazing surrogate who you've met.
She's so, I mean, the fact that she is carrying your giant child, she's tiny. It is shocking.
I actually felt guilty.
Wait, they told you couldn't do twins, right?
Yeah, they were like, I didn't think she would actually be allowed to be my surrogate.
Because she was so small.
Yeah, but this is her, you know, she's had kids before.
Mm-hmm.
My IVF doctor is like, no, it doesn't work like that. Like, she'll be fine. Mm-hmm. So, but this is definitely, she's like, this baby
is huge.
Is huge.
And by the way, the best part, and I feel like I've really been around for so much of the process, but like unintentionally, like, we didn't even know. We were out to dinner in New Hope with your parents when you had done the process of, you flew out to San Diego to inseminate, right?
Yeah, so the embryo transfer. So you create these 10-day-old embryos and then they freeze them. So the cool thing is if you want, they'll actually tell you the sex of the baby.
Wow.
And,
did you choose to have a boy?
I did choose to have a boy. I was torn because it really doesn't matter to me.
It doesn't.
But like three of my really close friends all had baby boys in the last year. And just a part of me, maybe is that the patriarchy?
No, I think it's nice. I was like, just grow like, up and with kids your age.
Now that I have this like farm and all the other boys, I don't know. I just felt like,
it's a boys' club.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that's like problematic.
No,
but
it's not.
No, it's like what my gut said. And at the end of the day, when it comes to family planning, you can do whatever you want.
100%.
But I just think it's amazing whether you're gay or having fertility issues. Mm-hmm. Like there is so much science now that can like dramatically. I have a lot of my, you know, lesbian friends who just had a baby via IVF. Like the science is kind of crazy.
It's amazing, by the way. Like how you were able to watch that picture of you literally with your mask on. Holding that picture with tears in your eyes, like, is literally the cutest thing ever.
The whole process, when I transferred the embryo, I was in the doctor's office. You see your frozen embryo, this 10-day-old, and it's like defrosting. You have to verify that it's yours. Obviously, there are all these controls. And then the doctor and, you know, inserts it. And I, you know, saw that little embryo land on like the uterine wall or endometrium wall, or I'm still like not great with.
And by the way, that's something that, you know, when you get pregnant the conventional way, you can't see.
I know my mom said to me, she's like, how cool is that? That you literally have known your son since the time that he was like created.
It's crazy.
And I started bawling that day because I instantly knew I was like pregnant that day.
Yeah.
I was,
And then when she called you like a week or two later to like, she officially had taken the test.
Yeah. My surrogate is like, she's very in tune with her body. And she was like, I don't want to get your hopes up. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, the odds are, you know,
never in your favor.
But then, she was like, do you want me to take a pregnancy test? And I'm like, technically, I think she was supposed to wait another week. But
she knew.
But she was like, you know, of course, the pregnancy test isn't perfect. Mm-hmm. And then I was out to dinner with you. And
that was so much fun.
Holy moly, here we go. So that was in January.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
So now everyone's like, are you nervous? I'm like, no, I'm not. I mean, I know my life's going to change, but I've jumped through so many hoops
to get here.
I'm excited.
You're ready. Like, it's been a long time coming.
Yes.
So now here's what I'm focused on. First of all, the baby shower, which I am actively planning with a few people. When I tell you, like, you're not fucking ready for what is going to go down, like, it is going to be so twisted. It's going to be like a last hurrah for you. It's like, it's not like other baby showers.
This is actually, so normally I'm the one to plan events, travel. You could call me a control freak.
Just a little.
And like, I did feel weird. My mom, I was like, I don't want to do a registry. You know, I feel.
You have to.
But my mom was like, no, you idiot. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we're doing a registry. People want to get you gifts. It's okay to accept gifts.
It is.
Like,
and you're
it's
not
about
realize...
being able to afford. It's no. about allowing people to. It's... And so many people have been like, the gifts that I got at my baby shower. Like,
save me. And like, you don't even
and
realize.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing. So yes, please. Yeah. I will take the help. Like, I've helped everyone plan trips. So yeah.
Right.
For the parents out there who are like, no, this is what you need.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be like, no. Because
no. And like, you need so much fucking crap. Like, you don't even realize how every little thing and all these things you accumulate, you're going to need. So you're very nice to not want to do it. But I was like, you're kidding
me, right? My mom wouldn't let me. She's like.
And by the way, what did I get, Brian? I tried to go nice. You know, one of the more expensive things on the registry. This fucking chair. Jackie sends me it because Jackie has the chair. Yeah. It's like a motorized chair. Jackie sends me a message the next day. Huge recall of this chair. It was very dangerous. I'm like, Brian, return the chair.
Claudia's already trying to kill my
baby. I'm coming. Yeah, because literally.
He's taking too much time away from you, Brian.
Attention. Now, I want to know what kind of dad you're going to be. Like, did you grow up in a strict household?
I did. Well, strict for sure. My parents, I grew up very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
I call myself like the last wave of like, my parents were not helicopter parents. Mm-hmm. Like, I grew up in my neighborhood. I have two older brothers and a younger sister. Like, we would leave the house in the summer at, like, 8 a.m. on mm-hmm. our bikes, go to the punt. Like, as long as you're home by 5 for dinner,
right.
and then you go out and come. Like, my parents were like, do whatever you want.
Right.
And I like that because I think my parents, but they also, like, ran a strict household. Like,
yeah.
I didn't curse.
Mm-hmm.
My parents didn't hit me, but, like, they would,
you would
like,
get punished when
you
deserved
to. The fear of God.
To.
Like, my mom could snap her fingers. She'd be on, like, a corded phone in the kitchen. This is the 90s. She would, like, look at me and snap, and I'd be like,
you knew.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to be that strict.
No, but I do think it's important to fear your parents a little bit. Not in, like,
sure.
an actually scary way, but in a way where you respect them and you respect
but
authority.
I do believe, like, your child, you know, he will be a part of my life. We're going to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he will travel from a young age, and I know it's going to be different. And I know there are things I'm going to say today that, like, the parents out there who are listening are like, yeah, we all said the same
thing.
But, you know, I want to show him the world. Like, I actually now am, like, you know, I mean, I traveled domestically growing up, but, mm-hmm. like, I want him to really see the world, and I think it'll change the way I travel.
Yeah, of course. And the way you see the world.
Yeah, and, you know, we've got a long time before he goes to school, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, spending some time abroad and... I don't know, but I also want to wait to see what he likes. I've been reading a lot on like parenting, and it's like I want to, and you know, the things that he naturally likes, I want to encourage.
Of course. And so, what like things have you been reading? Websites, books? Like, have you been leaning on to kind of prepare yourself?
Well, the biggest thing is, so my friend is a doula, and she, like, I'm just in the mode now of like, okay. You know, like learning about the skin to skin. Like, I want to be in that room instantly. No one touches my son.
Mm-hmm.
No one weighs him. He will go instantly on my chest, you know, if possible.
Right.
Like, and just understanding, you know, the sleep training, the formula, you know, which European formula is the best. Like,
you know,
Dutch goat milk versus... So that I'm like in that mode. I'm like, I mean, I always read articles on parenting and, but yeah, I think, and mostly I'm just talking to fellow parents.
Yeah.
And a lot
I think
of my
that's
friends
good.
Have had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my, you know, all the kids, you know, in my life are really amazing, well-adjusted kids for the most part. So I don't know.
So in this moment, like, what do you feel? You feel peace? You feel anxiety? You feel excitement?
I feel excitement. I feel, I feel like his due date. I just have the sense that he's going to come early. My surrogate feels that he's, so it's like, and I have to travel. So there's just like a little bit of like, I'm just ready for it to happen. But this isn't like nature. I can't like.
Can't rush it. You can't schedule it. It's not a plan.
And I want him to be on his time, you know, so. But I'm excited. I'm also excited to take time off work. I've actually never taken extended amount of time off work. Even when I travel, I'm always sort of working in a way. I mean, not that I'm complaining about my gig.
No.
But like to really unplug from work for a while and just spend time in the fall with the new baby on my farm.
It's going to be like beyond.
I'm so, so, so excited.
And you have a name picked out. We're obviously not going to share it.
I have a name that I've just always loved. It's a strong name. And, you know, my everyone I tell is like, oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's Kelly. Kelly. Yeah,
Kelly.
That's cute, by the way.
Yeah.
And when you were thinking of names, you factored in. Your last name is really unique because it's a first name and a last name. Yeah. So it makes like, it can be really punchy.
Yeah.
I think a lot of your success has to do with your name, honestly. Brian Kelly, like that's
Brianna,
a name.
Brianna,
Christina, Vanderpump.
Wakile.
Armstrong, Leeks, Kelly. Wakile.
Wakile Kelly.
And so when you're thinking about like names, Jackie was really like, you really don't know how hard it is until you have to name a full human being. So you had this name. I know you had it for a while, even before.
I had the name for as long as I can remember. And it just like, it stands the test of time. Mm-hmm. I think I liked this name when I was 16.
Yeah.
It's like it's strong ageless by and Ramona. Iconic. So I feel very strong about it. Plus his middle name will be a family name that it's got a... You know, I feel very strongly about
Even though Jackie had suggested a name that almost took off your name. Jackie's good with names.
This one, I think you can share.
Well, so your name is Brian Kelly and so is your dad.
Yes.
He's senior.
So, but I'm not junior because we have different middle names. So to have a third Brian, so Jackie recommended, or her suggestion was we'll call him Trip.
Right, like which obviously, because he's the third,
Brian,
but you're the points guy in your
and
table.
And the points guy, the
trips.
Double entendre.
So we thought about it for
is that
like-
a double entendre?
Yeah, because it has multiple meanings. But eventually the name you had was better and like-
Trip Kelly, that would be a really good name, Jackie.
I mean,
Jackie's so good with
that. He sounds like a douche. Like,
yeah, he's Southern, a little Southern.
Pops his collar, you know? But I like it.
Yeah, he's an SA.
Yeah, like he's a frat guy.
Yeah.
Loves beer, keg stands.
Wait, so I'm not religious. I'm not doing godmothers and godparents. What, like, but you're obviously going to be special to him.
Auntie.
So what should we, Auntie Claudia?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to think. Like, I'll have to see how my relationship with him blossoms.
What are you going to do if he's straight?
Set him up with Margo. But literally, I was just saying this to Jackie. For some reason, my association with Margo is so young. Like, when we're out to dinner and I see a 15-year-old, I'm like, oh my God, cute boy for Margo. Even though like Margo's 25 now, I just like keep forgetting.
Of course,
can
you're always like on text chains, Margo, she doesn't make time for us anymore.
She doesn't. She's too busy at high school. No, if your son is straight, I will of course accept him as he is. And I will find a nice Jewish girl for him.
Perfect.
Or even if he's gay, I'll find a nice Jewish boy for him. Yeah. But when he becomes a certain age, like I will not stop setting him up. He's probably going to hate me.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's straight, he'll hate me. If he's gay, he'll love me.
Sickening the house.
Sickening. Oh. We'll sing Janet and Celine together. And that's another, where does Janet fit into all this? Janet
Pasta is going to come out for the delivery.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, he's excited.
He's going to make literally homemade formula.
Yeah. Well, we tried to put him through a lactation course, but unfortunately it didn't take.
It didn't work. It didn't
take. It was tough on us. And by the way, for people watching, Pasta is my best friend, my sister.
And honestly, this is going to really change his life too.
No, but it's like we're doing this together.
I know. It's like nice.
Pasta's fans are called the Noodles.
I love
Noodlers.
That. We've got the Toasters, the Noodlers. And you would have
called. By the way, just to switch gears, Pasta, like we were tubing and Pasta had fans on the Delaware River.
Okay, that
people
is...
were like, Pasta Fazula. We went to a party later that night in Bucks County. Pasta Fazula? Like,
I mean, his content
freaking.
Is...
Like, Pasta Fazula is about to like just blow take up. Over.
Mario Batali, watch out. Watch,
cooking with Babs, watch out.
Watch out. I love her. Olivia loves her. Oh my God. Okay. So you feel like, how do you, well, this episode comes out tomorrow, but still, yes. Like now that everyone knows, you are going to get, I feel
so
like.
So feel, I mean, to all the new moms and dads out there, feel free to DM me your tips. Mm-hmm. I am open to all advice.
Product recommendations.
Yeah.
I love this. I've already so got the Duna,
travel.
Jackie is obsessed with the
Duna.
I've
got my Nanit Pro. Yes. I've got my Nestig Wave crib.
Oh, good.
Wow, like, it's prepared. A crib that turns into a bed that turns into like.
Fabulous.
The nursery theme is like, we'll have to wait and see on my Instagram.
Oh, I don't even know what that is. What's
I just kind of finalized the concept. I had a lot of different ideas, but. We're just going to do like a safari type theme.
You're going to, oh, by the way, that's amazing. You're going to be such a good dad. Like, this is the role you were born to play. I'm so happy for you. I'm happy for me. Like, because first of all, I was able to keep the secret for well over 2 years. Good on me. Because I told people Jackie was pregnant and I was like, I could. I told you on the river. It was like literally so early. I'm like, and I kept the secret so fucking good. And I did allude like 2 weeks ago on the toast that like, I have a really big event coming up. It was your baby shower. And I was like, you guys are going to find out.
Wait, do you know what you're
going to
wear yet?
No, I need to get... Do I have to wear blue?
Like, no, because that's like heteronormative, I think it's just like, you know?
Oh my God, look at me projecting my heteronormativity on you. I'm so sorry.
Wait, do you remember that time I came out on the toast?
Yeah, no.
that was the dumbest thing we've ever done.
We just wanted to be funny. I think we're hilarious. Like, we're funny. You're going to be an amazing dad.
I would
just
say, like, when I was a kid in the 90s, like, I knew I was gay and I would go to bed and be like, if I could take a pill to be straight because I want to have kids. Yeah. And I never thought I'd be able to have kids.
Oh yeah.
So like to all the gay boys out there or girls and people, you know, battling infertility, just like.
Everything happens the way it's meant to happen. Oh, yeah. I have chills. I love that. It's so full circle. You're literally like doing what you were put on this earth to do.
You know.
To make a mini you.
God
who
help
can
us
terrorize
all.
This earth for the God. Next 50 years.
Apparently he's like kicked like a lot of the things like my surrogate sent me like videos of him just ramming through her. Apparently he's very active at night.
He's ready.
He's a party boy.
Wow, that's so unlike his father. Well, the toasters are so happy for you. I know they're going to freak out. I love you so much. Mazel tov.
Love you, auntie.
And make sure to be following at Brian Kelly on Instagram, like, for all the dad
send
updates.
All
like,
your tips and
send
tricks.
Send fellow single gay dads his way as well.
Yeah.
I think that's important to remember. Thank you guys for listening. Enjoy this episode. Enjoy your weekend. Have an amazing weekend. And Jackie and I will be back for regular episodes on Monday. I love you all. Tickets available at girlwithnojob.com/tour. Bye.